You're listening to CFAC 960 AM, Sportsnet 960 The Fan. Live from Calgary, Alberta, Canada. Owned and operated by Rogers Media. Also streaming at sportsnet.ca/960. Talking Calgary Flames hockey in the afternoon. The Big Show on Sportsnet 960 The Fan.
Yeah, there's no way we're losing it.
You don't feel like the pressure's on you guys?
No. We're up 3-2 and going home. A lot is building now when Winnipeg's out in the NHL. So we're going to, you know, take energy from that and just play the same way we've been doing at home. Last game, they didn't have much in our building. So we got to try to do the same thing on Saturday night.
That's Michael Backlund after the Flames fell in game number 5 in Vancouver by a 2-1 score. Was it a game the Calgary Flames deserved to win? No, just being outshot 2-1 is probably all the information that needs to support that claim. I will say this, could they have won that game? Absolutely, they could have won that game. Vancouver never did convert on their opportunities, and Calgary hung around and hung around, but it wasn't meant to be. For whatever reason, Calgary couldn't take advantage of a very shaky Ryan Miller. At least that's how that goaltender appeared to me early on. So what do we have? We have a game 6, and it's back at the Dome tomorrow night, and I like what I heard from Michael Backlund. I have no problem with that. That's how you have to attack this. That's how you have to approach this. And Pat, as much as that was, you know, an answer to an Eric Francis question, it was probably a statement that, you know, maybe some of the younger guys on this team need, you know, to learn or hear or whatever. Yeah, you know, to me, the benchmark all year long has been the St. Louis Blues. The Calgary Flames played 3 games against the St. Louis Blues and weren't in danger of winning any of them. They could have won that game last night. They hung around. It was that kind of game. The right team in the sense of shots and scoring chances won it. Sure, Vancouver deserved to win that hockey game. But there was nothing that, I don't know about you, and I'm curious what the observation was on overtime, but there was nothing that eroded my faith in the Flames' ability to win this series. It wasn't as if, for instance, I think two teams in the last couple of days have kind of had those kind of wake-up moments. I think Washington had a wake-up moment last night, and I think St. Louis had a wake-up game. Now, it's up to them to carry that through. I didn't think that that was some sort of tidal wave of Vancouver. Vancouver did what they had to do at home.
Right.
Take advantage of the crowd, come out, sustain pressure for 60 minutes, did a marvelous job on the penalty kill, allowing Calgary just one shot. Calgary went in with the best power play percentage in the playoffs, but allowed only one shot. Full marks.
Especially in that third period.
Yeah.
Those were huge.
Take nothing away from Vancouver. On the same token, I don't come back going, oh boy, now the Flames are at it. I continue to be and always will be worried about the depth on this team in terms of injuries. I'm a little concerned that I look at a score sheet last night that shows Jiří Hudler with only 14 minutes, 4 minutes less than his line mates. I see that Joe Colburn was up in the 18-minute mark. Number one line cashed in for Vancouver last night. The number one line was quiet for Calgary last night. Yeah, that worries me. But, you know, tomorrow to me is just another part of this series, which, you know, I hate to say it, but I think both of us were on the same page, thought it was going to be a long series, and now it's game 6. I feel that kind of officially crosses that threshold into long series.
Yes, 5 is short, 6 is long.
Right.
That's the most bizarre thing. It's one game.
But it's true.
But it's the way we look at things.
Absolutely.
And quite honestly, I didn't think Vancouver had it in them last night. I really didn't. From what I had seen in games 3 and 4, but they had it, and good on them, because they were the more urgent team. They were the better team, and they deserved to win. And I completely agree with your assessment. I don't think Calgary got blown out. I don't think Calgary played poorly. I don't really think Calgary did anything all that differently from game 4 as opposed to game 5. Just the opponent was a little bit better, and they converted on one more opportunity that they had. And you know what? Jonas Hiller was outstanding for the Flames last night once again.
But how many 10 bellers did he have to make?
There was a few, but he just was very solid, and there was no bad goals, and I thought that his rebound control was the best that he's been. He was smothering pucks, he was sucking pucks in. I thought that was really, really important. But I really do, I think that your assessment's bang on in that. If I'm a Flames fan right now, I still absolutely believe that they're in the driver's seat. I'm not worried of, oh no, all the momentum shifted to Vancouver. Ideally, you wanted to wrap it up in 5. Ideally, you didn't want to have this thing, you know, you didn't want to have Vancouver gain any life or anything like that. That would have been ideal. But okay, Vancouver won. You've got another opportunity in your home rink where you're 2-for-2 and you played very well to wrap this series up. So go and do it. And now it's time to kind of have the same type of urgent effort tomorrow as Vancouver had yesterday.
I'm not sure who actually stakes ownership to these things, but do you feel in a way the Flames got a taste of what it's like to play against them? Because, boy, there was a lot. The one takeaway for the Flames is I thought they left a lot of shots on the table. I think there's a lot of pucks that didn't end up on Ryan Miller. They were blocked. Mason Raymond's breakaway, and that flutters into the corner. I thought Johnny Gaudreau, again, that line at times a little too cute, should have just put pucks on net. I kept waiting for that black rubber thing to hit Ryan Miller and never got all the way through. And that's, you know, in the road games, Pat, in this series, that's been consistent. They've done a better job at home of getting pucks through. But I thought last night Vancouver did a great job of taking away, keeping it to the outside, yep, taking away the shooting lines.
Yeah, they really did. I thought Vancouver played a pretty strong game last night. They did what they needed to do. I'm really not all that confident, any more confident in Ryan Miller after yesterday as I was, you know, going into it. I mean, he let in the first shot or that the first goal early on and didn't look really, really confident. Didn't look like he was on it.
The Weidman post on the first power play in the first period led me to believe, boy, you got to get to this guy. If you get there, you might be rewarded. They just never got there.
Yep.
They just never got there. It's up to them now to kind of nip it in the bud, as it were. Look, you know, another day, another couple days wasted, quite honestly. If you truly believe you're coming out of this series and you're playing Anaheim, you're now two more days invested in something that would have been nice to have as a break. Well, nothing you can do about that now. You have to get ready and go to work.
I just don't know, and I guess you can counter this for me if you want. But
please.
Are the Flames capable of playing a whole lot better than the way they played in Game 4? Okay? Game 3 is maybe the best game that we've seen. So let's say Game 3.
Yeah.
Are they capable of playing a whole lot better than the way they played in Game 3? And Game 3 was a pretty close hockey game. And conversely, is Vancouver capable of playing a whole lot better than they played yesterday? Maybe a little bit, but it was still a close game yesterday.
This
is going to be a close series until the end,
exactly,
right? That's kind of where I am on this.
Yeah, I guess my only... Yeah, I think the Flames could be more consistent than they were in terms of... That's the one thing that I liked about Vancouver's game last night. That was one of those rare 60-minute efforts, right? They generated shots consistently through 60 minutes. Very rarely did they get hemmed in their own end. Very rarely was there an extended pushback or anything like that. They seemed to be able to, you know, constantly through the stages of the periods, were be able to create opportunities and get their chances. So I think Calgary, that's a one criticism I have of the Flames through five games is they really haven't had that full 60-minute. They've had really good periods. They've had really good half games. But they're starts.
Even Game 3 or just...
don't you?
Game 3 I thought was their best game of the series.
Yeah, for sure.
And maybe one of their best games of the season.
And I'm micromanaging. I'm just saying in comparison, I thought Vancouver last night for 60 minutes was, you know, on top of their game. And, hey, look, the guy that is much maligned in this city, Kevin Bieksa played night. He looked like a different guy last night. He looked like the old Kevin Bieksa. He was up in the rush. He was, you know, trying to add some offense. He was played more than Dan Hamhuis. We'll see. I mean, he's going to be public enemy number one again. The one thing that, you know, I liked in all of this was Michael Ferland was Michael Ferland. He was on the road. He had 7 hits last night.
Yep.
And nothing changed. Nothing changed. So, you know, it's good. Like, you know, to me, you've got to have... That role can't be a home role. That role has to be home and away, and maybe even more important in the road.
I agree. Yeah, I agree. And I look now, and what I'm really most interested in, I have a pretty good idea what the Flames are going to be tomorrow. I'm interested in what the Canucks are. Can the Canucks play? Look it. They were, in terms of their urgency, in terms of their sellout level, in terms of all of that. I say sellout in a good way because they were sold right. Like they were balls to the wall last night. They knew that their season was on the line. Do they have that in them again? Because one game to stave off elimination is one thing. To do it again in a Game 6 on the road, that to me is the big question. I'm pretty sure what I know to expect from the Flames tomorrow.
Yep.
They're going to feed off the Sea of Red. I think they're going to be fired up. I think they're going to have a good start and all of that. But what do we see from them, from their opposition? What does Vancouver bring the other way? Because that's the one, you know, you talk about Vancouver's 60-minute effort. You take a look at Game 4, Vancouver had the shot edge, and they were maybe a little unfortunate to be down 3-1 after 20 minutes, but what they do in the second period, there was nothing there from them. Well, they were down 1-0 after 20 last night, and they kept on pushing in the second period last night, which I think is the biggest difference from Game 5 to Game 4. There was no let-up in Vancouver's game. Can they do that again?
I honestly thought, because that tying goal didn't come till late in the second, I was honestly feeling like, well, if Calgary gets one here, they're going to put it away. It was that kind of game.
And they had, I remember writing it down at Shanks when Mason Raymond flubbed that breakaway, like, yep. Put that one away. Because Vancouver had not relented. Vancouver, and you're like, geez, 2, and that brings it to a different game. 1-1, and you could tell when Bonino scored that goal, like, the team was fired up. They were like, okay, we finally got one. We feel like we just got rewarded for a lot of hard work. And then Sedin scores on the pretty passing play to start off period number 3. And really, did you really get the feeling that Calgary was, you know, close to tying the game? I mean, I guess David Jones hit the post in the third period, but for the most part, not really all that dangerous when they were down by 1, even with those 2 power plays.
Yeah, and that's to me, getting the pucks to the net, that'll be key. Job number 1. We're live on location at Woodridge Ford Lincoln this afternoon. Later on, we'll hear from Eric, and Derek. So we got lots of hockey talk, plus audio streaming in from Flames practice this afternoon. We'll bring that to you. But we're here for a really big reason this afternoon, Pat.
Yeah.
As we are going to, I guess, kind of watch the start and creation of a really cool partnership that's going to benefit not only Calgarians, but it's going to benefit kids throughout Southern Alberta.
Yeah, the Wood Auto Group here, including Woodridge Ford, where we are, Big Four, Advantage Ford, Okotoks Four, where we were 2 weeks ago, and Village Honda are coming together and partnering up with Kidsport, and their partnership, you can imagine, is going to be a pretty good one.
Yep.
And those locations, the Wood Auto Group locations, are all going to be permanent drop-off locations for the spring equipment drive for Kidsport. All of the equipment is going to the Comrie Sports Equipment Bank, which is a really cool initiative here in the city of Calgary to come together and give equipment to those who can't afford it. So, yeah, this is quite the partnership, and Woodridge Ford is part of it. We're here until 6 o'clock, and again, as we'll get into throughout the afternoon, not only is the partnership great with the Wood Auto Group and Kidsport, but on top of that, the deals here at Woodridge Ford, there's kind of like a dual, a double-edged sword. Come on down here. Bring in your lightly used equipment and check out some of the deals here.
Yeah, well, and it's easy to find. The corner of Deerfoot and Douglasdale. As a matter of fact, we'll make it official. When we come back, we'll introduce you to the particulars and tell you exactly how you can help kids in Southern Alberta. You'll get to know Kidsport in Calgary. You'll get to know the Comrie Equipment Sports Bank, and you'll get to know the Wood Auto Group. That's coming up next, live from Woodridge Ford, here on your home of the Calgary Flames, Sportsnet 960, The Fan.
The fastest game on earth only plays here. Proud home of the NHL. We are Calgary Flames Radio, Sportsnet 960, The Fan. Calgary, the boys on the big show are talking sports right now. Sportsnet 960. The Fan.
Hill's played unbelievable. Like, he's been playing like this since the DLA game, and he's had a great season, but I think that as a veteran, like, he understands the importance of big games, and you know, like, he's dialed in right now. His focus is great. He's tracking pucks, and he's giving us a chance to win games.
That's Bob Hartley talking about Jonas Hiller as the Flames prepare for game number 6 tomorrow night at the Dome against the Vancouver Canucks. We'll have it for you beginning with warm-up at 6 o'clock and puck drops just a little after 7. One of the things that makes Calgary so great are the individuals and the groups and the companies that come together for a greater good, and that is certainly exemplified by why we are at Woodridge Ford Lincoln this afternoon. Very pleased to introduce some very special guests. First of all, Kevin, the executive director of Kidsport Calgary. You're here for a very important reason, as is Sam, who's the CEO of the Wood Auto Group, who's also here for that very same important reason. And right smack down in the middle, our good friend Al Coates, yes, that Al Coates, is also here for a very special reason. And Al, I'll start with you, because according to this release, you kind of got the ball rolling on this. How did we get to today?
Well, there was a lot of really good people. As you mentioned, this is an unbelievable city, and you know, Bill Comrie deserves a lot of credit for this, and that's why the Equipment Bank is named the Sports Equipment Bank, Bill Comrie Sports Equipment Bank, and he lives in California and saw the need. But real long story short, this wasn't happening in Calgary, as hard as that is to believe, and it's been happening in Edmonton for 22 years. So the need is clearly there to assist kids who otherwise can't play hockey. We started with hockey. Our plan is to branch into other lines of sporting activity. And we have some amazing partners like Kidsport, Hockey Alberta, obviously, which you're a part of, Rob.
Yep.
The Hockey Canada Foundation and the Calgary Foundation, DK Seaman, who are all very familiar with Sport Calgary, Western Hockey League, Flames, et cetera, et cetera. It just shows, and now we're here today because there's yet, in a way, another partner that's that we're really excited to have. When you get the Wood Group and the multiple locations that they have willing to donate part of their space so that we can gain yet more equipment. It does a couple of things. It gets a lot more equipment out to kids who need it, and it spreads the word, and that's and I thank you for doing that, what you've been doing for months now.
Kevin, how did KidSport get involved?
Real simple. I think back to the start when the equipment bank was just an idea. KidSport was one of the members at the table because KidSport used to provide equipment grants, and quite honestly, we didn't have the resources to provide as many grants as we'd like to in a year. To put that into perspective, 2013, we gave 36 kids equipment grants. The first 5 months of the Comrie Sports Equipment Bank, we outfit 250 kids. So it's working, and that's why we wanted to be at the table. KidSport Kids, we helped them with the registration fees. Now we're able to provide them the access to the equipment that they need to make sport truly accessible to the families that currently can't afford it. And together now adding the Wood Group, we've got an all-star team that's committed to an amazing cause.
Sam, talk about the Wood Auto Group getting involved because this is really, this is so important to have an actual physical place where people can come and drop off equipment. Why get involved?
It is extremely important, and this to me hit home personally, and I'll tell you a little bit about that. But to start off, the Wood Automotive Group is extremely and very proud to support both KidSport and Comrie Sport Equipment Bank. What we've done, obviously, is set up trucks in the middle of the showroom, and we're inviting people to come down and drop off equipment for the people that need it. And I mentioned it, this hit to me home. Brief story, I was 16 years old, lived in Montreal. Wanted to play baseball and didn't have money to buy a baseball glove. My parents didn't have a whole lot of money, who had immigrated from overseas, so I had to wait a whole year before I saved up enough money to buy a baseball glove and join a team. So when I first heard about this and it was mentioned to me, I was all over it.
So the most important thing that people need to know is that they can bring lightly, gently used equipment to any Wood Auto Group location and help fill up the vehicles. Let's talk about those locations because you guys have a nice spread over not only Calgary but the surrounding area as well.
We've got several locations, obviously Woodridge Ford in Douglasdale, Big Four Motors and Advantage Ford on McLeod Trail, Village Honda in the Northwest Auto Mall, and Okotoks Ford, which you visited, I believe, a couple of weeks ago. In the south, so we're very spread out, trying to help out the cause, obviously, and you know, many locations for people to go to and drop off some equipment.
And Sam, this is an ongoing thing. This isn't just today until 6 o'clock.
This is ongoing.
There is perpetuity. No,
absolutely, absolutely.
Al, good a time as any for you to jump in and help me define lightly used and equipment, because there are, everything is welcome, but there are a few things that are more important, and there's a few things we have to be careful about, right?
Well, the one thing we have to be careful of is we'll never send somebody out with a used helmet. So those have to be certified, those have to be brand new, and so that's where the financial component, one of the financial components coming into running the equipment bank. We have a great manager there, Russell Gillespie, down there working daily at our bank there. So when we say slightly used, gently used equipment, we don't want people going into their garages and their basement and taking stuff that's been down there for 20 years that we in turn have to throw out because we just can't use it. So by way of example, there was a family out in Springbank where the boy wanted to play goal. They got brand new goal equipment, and that didn't last very long, and the guy says, what are we going to do with it? Well, that goal equipment was probably worth $1,000, $1,500, and made the donation to the equipment bank. So somebody else is wearing essentially a brand new set of goal equipment and can play. And we're trying to do this not just in southern Alberta. The Sports Central is taking, for the most part, care of northern Alberta,
right,
from Red Deer North. But our outreach program now is more than just Calgary, and so hence the need for the more stuff that we can get. And as we said at the outset, we started this with the intention of looking after hockey, but now with the great work that KidSport does, we're looking to try to, on an annual basis, branch into at least one more sport, one in the summer and one more in the winter. So slightly used, gently used, however you want to term it, I think people get the message that we don't want you cleaning out your garage or your basement of stuff that nobody, that you yourself wouldn't wear. We're not going to be able to put that on a kit.
But the one thing we have seen, Al, is that, you know, this is a pretty, you know, affluent city, and parents are pretty good to their kids, and they do tend to turn stuff over fairly quickly. And if it's, you know, a year old or whatever, it's still in great shape, and we can find a home for it.
There's no question about that. I'm just saying, you know. You know, it might be my own stuff. Well, maybe I should use my own stuff that I haven't worn for 27 years.
No, but the helmet's a big thing too, right? Because there's a safety issue there, right?
Yeah, absolutely. So we spend money there over and above all the equipment that is donated. And
yeah.
Kevin actually knows more about this than I do, but we spend money on there on buying new sticks.
Right.
Because we don't get enough of those that are in good shape, and we, as previously mentioned, we have to buy new helmets. So we want to make sure that a kid goes out there. We're not going to put something on somebody else's child that we wouldn't put on our own. It's basically as simple as that.
And in a lighter moment, someone representing the goaltending union and had to wear deer hair pads growing up. We don't need deer hair pads. All right, let's not do that to any kid.
That's yours. That's your parent.
That was my, and I've learned my lesson now. No more of that. All right, you won't get any more of that from me.
That's good.
Kevin, Sam brings up a really good point about his story, because I think his story is a pretty common one, and just touch a little bit on kid sport and your reach in this city, because as I said, a big town. This is a big city. It's an affluent city. It can be, and I know there's a lot of high-level hockey programs, but there's a lot of kids who want to play than me. I don't want to say get forgotten in the system, because we do a good job, but there's a need for what you guys do. Tell us a little bit about who you touch.
Yeah, without a doubt. So our chapter is Kidsport Calgary. We service Calgary and surrounding area, 50-kilometer radius basically, so includes Airdrie, Cochrane, Strathmore, Chestermere. This partnership also brings to the table Kidsport Okotoks, who's part of the partnership with the Wood Auto Group. So we're basically servicing Calgary and the entire surrounding area. We together provided a service to over 3,500 kids last year. And the key to us in this partnership is the Wood Auto Group's reach and their promotional power in helping us make sure we don't miss those families you talk about, Rob. We're over 1,300 kids that we've provided sports registration fees already to this year, which is a 30% increase from last year, and we know there's more families out there that can use our support. And now with the power of the Wood Auto Group and our partnership with the Equipment Bank, we've got a total package on what we can do to a family and a kid to make sure sport is totally accessible to them and that they can enjoy all the positive benefits that sport can bring to a child. They should be able to be a kid and sports part of that, and we want to make sure that's a possibility.
Yeah, no, I mean, this is certainly a great relationship. And Sam, just finally to you, because I don't think we can go back to this enough, is the fact that there's a large reach in the Wood Auto Group, and it's permanent moving forward. Come on down. Tell your brothers, tell your sisters, tell your association,
everyone.
Right?
Tell everyone to come down, and please donate equipment. I mean, I was so pleased when I came down. I haven't come down to the showroom all day. And to come down and see one of our trucks parked in the middle of the showroom. And
a beautiful F-150,
we might add. A beautiful 2015
aluminum F-150. Aluminum F-150. Aluminum's lighter. I don't know if you know 700 that.
700-plus pounds lighter.
Yes.
Filled with equipment in the back of it.
And that's just since noon, right?
Since noon.
Yeah.
And it's so I'm so pleased to see that. And on behalf of Jerry Wood, obviously I want to say that the Wood On Motor Group wants to thank and congratulate Kidsport and Comrie's Equipment Bank, led by Board Chair L and Kevin, obviously, for the commitment and dedication to our children and youth. We appreciate it. We're happy to partner up with you guys.
Well, I want to flip it around, and I want to thank Jerry and the Wood Auto Group, because when we were out in Okotoks, Perry Barazan, Flames alumni, was down and gave me a nice little education about the relationship that we're talking about, a group that has been involved with this community and this cause for a long, long time. This isn't just a fly-by-night, hey, this is a great idea, we should do it tomorrow, Al. This is a commitment that's been to the community for a long time.
Well, I was just saying, I first met Jerry, I think, in 1981, so I'm not giving away either one of our ages. I think I was three, maybe, or
right.
Something like three or four. I don't know how old Jerry was, but anyways, without saying, they've been a great, great partner and a great partner in this city and various communities for as long as I can remember, and it just doesn't end. You see another jumping on an opportunity like this to make a difference. So it continues, and we appreciate it. Thank you.
Kevin, somebody's listening today and not so much a donation but would like information on kids sport and might help them and might help their kids. How can they get more information? How can they get pointed in the right direction?
The easiest way, you can go right to our website. All the information's there about our application program, as well as the criteria that families would need to go through in that application program. So it's kidsport.ca/Calgary. And if you're in Okotoks, it's kidsport.ca/Okotoks. And if they have questions, we welcome phone calls to our office. It's 403-202-0251. And we will walk through any steps we have to make sure a family understands the process, a sport club, an agency in the community that's dealing face-to-face with families. We're willing to do whatever we can to make sure that family has the opportunity.
And I don't think there's a more active service group in the city of Calgary than you guys. What's your next fundraiser? What are you guys working on right now?
We got one on the go today. Our next biggest one's probably, we got a few golf tournaments in May, and then we got a big garage sale on June 6th. Our first time doing a garage sale, and in the current environment we have, it's a way for people that want to donate, that they don't have to donate cash, any resaleable item that they have at their house. We're also accepting sporting goods that day, bottles if they want to contribute to a bottle drive, and one of our partners, Weston Bakers, is going to match everything 100%. So that's our biggest one we're sort of focused on. And then the launch of today's partnership, we couldn't be prouder to be part of this here today. So
that's awesome. And Al, back to you. We started with you. We'll finish with you. As far as the Comrie Sports Equipment Bank goes, it's by referral only. So, you know, Kids Sport or Heroes or Winner or even Strength Program, Hockey Calgary, they'll get you there. But what is there anything that you guys need? Is there any partners you need? What are you looking for right now? What are you actively seeking out?
Well, we're growing, and we have a much bigger goal in mind, really, than just where we are today. Mm. So it's baby steps for us, but we will always need equipment. We'll need equipment for multiple sports, and we always can use yet another donation. And the one thing that maybe gets lost in this a little bit is the volunteer aspect. There's a lot of work to be done to make this gently used equipment get back out and into the hands of kids the way we want it to. So we've got some unbelievable volunteers already that are there on a daily basis at the equipment bank. But for people that want to get involved, that's yet another area of opportunity, for example, that we encourage for sure.
Al, Kevin, Sam, this is awesome. Sam, I can't, as Al said, we've all got a vested interest in somebody who's got a vested interest in minor sport here in Calgary. Thank you so much for the Wood Auto Group stepping up and being the home of this. This is fantastic. Kevin, thank you for everything you do. And Al, that was, again, a little late, but we got you on. Thanks for doing this, Al.
Always a pleasure, Rob. You know that.
Al Coates, everybody. We'll take a break. We will come back to Woodridge Ford. We got so much to deal with this afternoon, including the Calgary Flames and the Vancouver Canucks. Big news up in Edmonton and more. Pat Steinberg rejoins the conversation next here on your home of the Calgary Flames, Sportsnet 960, The Fan.
30 teams, only one cup. The pursuit of Lord Stanley is only right here. Sportsnet 960 is Calgary's home for the National Hockey League. Talking hockey in the afternoon, the big show with Rob Kerr and Pat Steinberg is only on Sportsnet 960 The Fan.
We feel great. Like, we just had a video session, meeting. The boys are in the gym. Some few guys will get on the ice. And we're consistent in our approach. Like, that has been our mindset since day one. Like, on off days, we reload, we refuel, we adjust if we feel that we need to, but the guys feel great. Once again, I'm pretty amazed on how those guys always find a way to get back on their feet. And last night, we got beat by a goal. It was a great game, and the Canucks deserve the win. Tomorrow night, Scotiabank Saddle Dome is the place to be.
Always selling. That's out of Glengarry Glen Ross, right? Always selling.
Scotiabank Saddle Dome is the place to be.
You're always selling.
He knows what he's doing.
He knows what he's doing. He's no fool. There's Bob Hartley. If you thought he was going to come out and rip his team, if you thought he was going to come out and complain, that's not what that man does. Stays positive in front of the camera. His team sounds positive. Thought it was interesting, Pat. Did you see that, again, we played the clip from Michael Backlund earlier and said we're just not going to lose.
Love it.
And the questioning today, are you calling your shot? Are you guaranteeing? No, it's just how the guy feels. But it's the playoffs, so that kind of stuff gets heightened, right?
Exactly. And I mean, I love Backlund's clip. I love that. Like, that is awesome. When I heard that, I was like, yep, that a boy backs. Like, let's show some confidence. And you know, is that bulletin board material? No. I mean, there's no way we're losing at home. Hey, did you guys hear that the Flames said there's no, oh, we better go win now? I mean, come on.
Well, you know what they're doing in Vancouver, right? Oh, they're chewing that up in the afternoon shows.
Those guys are so cut.
That's how this crap goes down. But I'm with you. Look, Backlund has every right to say this. Did you know how many shots the Flames had last night?
21.
How many did Backlund have?
6.
That's correct. That's yep. I'm not sure, but I believe that counts.
Like that, I didn't even have a game.
I know. No, it's your guy, though.
I've got a few guys.
Yeah, but he's one of them. But that's like, I'm no math wizard, Pat, but that's a lot.
That's almost 30% of the shots.
If you're allowed, you know, you've done your work, you're allowed to say
that line was the best line on the ice for the Flames last night.
Yeah,
they were very, very good, and he was the guy who paced them. I thought, you know, the one thing that, I mean, we talked so much about Sam Bennett. We haven't talked a lot about Michael Backlund, but we are right now. And a guy that, I've been pretty lukewarm on Joe Colburn all year long, but
I know.
This is the best hockey he's ever played.
He and looks like he's built for the postseason, doesn't he?
He's been playing some really, really good hockey, and that line has really worked together this postseason.
I don't know who I'm talking to half the time anymore, but I said that somebody said he was really kind. It was you. Had a tough first period in Vancouver. Maybe it was a first tough. And it looks like everything of a coach going in and laying it on the line. Look, this is where you're at. This is what you need to do. That shift he had at the end of game one has been a turning point for him in this series. Well, I expected more from him offensively this year, just on the way his first year in Calgary finished. Wasn't that way. It was up and down. But he's a big body. He can skate. He can move. And he's got pretty good hands. This is a good series for him. I'm worried about Jiří Hudler right now. I'm worried that Jiří Hudler played 4 minutes less than his line mates last night. I worry a little bit about that. It's a war of attrition. It's all of those things. You know, we just found out Shea Weber's not going to play in this series for Nashville. Vancouver's lost Alexander Burrows. That's how the postseason goes. But there, at least, you know, on one game was a guy who stepped up and ate some of those minutes, right?
And absolutely. And right now, I think that Hudler's hurt. Like, he is hurt. Something is going on. He's nowhere near 100%. Like, I'm almost completely positive of that. I don't know what it is, but a guy doesn't go from being that effective to dropping off the map and you know, having to be managed his ice time like it was last night. There's something going on with Jiří Hudler.
He was spotted.
Yeah. And they're not going to tell us what's going on.
No, nor should they.
Yeah. But I'm convinced he's hurt. He's playing through something, whether it was the slash that he took from Robin Regier in the penultimate game of the season, whether it's something else that he was dealing with before. I don't know. But he's hurt, Robin. And it's not ideal. But look, there's lots of guys who are throughout the postseason playing through injuries right now, and it's just something that you have to deal with as a team. But, you know, for all those criticizing Jiří Hudler, yes, it's warranted because we don't know what's going on, but I'm convinced he's hurt right now.
Yeah, and having said that,
I still think Monahan's hurt.
Okay, because that's where I was going to go. Remember we started this series going, what's wrong with Sean Monahan? Look, it might not be anything more than that game against L.A. because Daryl Sutter went right after that line, and they played through it. And then you go right into the postseason, and you know we've had a lot of fun at the expense of the Vancouver Canucks, but the Vancouver Canucks have not been shrinking violets either. You know, their guys have played you hard. Their D-men have tried to hit you wherever they can. This has been a physical, tough series. This is what to be expected. But tomorrow night, somebody's got to rise. Somebody's got to come up. Maybe it's Michael Backlund. Maybe Backlund, you know, gets more offensive you know, production than we've seen or whatever. That's what you're looking for right now. You don't want to go back to Vancouver, but with this club, you know, it wouldn't. There's been other incarnations of the Flames. For instance, the team that beat San Jose and went Game 7 in San Jose, I don't think many of us really had high hopes they would win Game 7. It was cool that they won Game 6 at home, but going into Game 7, you know, I just have a different feel about this team.
Yeah, even if they lose tomorrow, I'm not really going into Game 7 saying, well, this one's
over. It's guaranteed this or that.
For me, this series is so close that whoever wins tomorrow, I think it's going to be a close win. And then whatever happens, like, and this is a really good example of a series where game to game doesn't really give you that many trends. Like, you know, you see what happened in game one to game two, and then certainly game two looked like Vancouver was completely done. Like, they were going to run the show for the rest of the series. They played so well in game two. Well, they come home and they lose two games in a row. They come back to Calgary and lose game three and four at the Saddle Dome. And they look, and look, I was the first one to say it. They look beaten. They look weary. They look defeated. Well, they go out and they put an urgent effort on the ice and earn a hard-fought win in Game 5. Game to game, you can't really get that many trends in this series other than Sam Bennett and the way he's played and that line and how well they've played. And you know,
not bad for a guy who can only do one push-up or pull-up, I should say.
Couldn't even do any. I don't remember.
I thought he did one.
Did he do one?
I think he did one.
Okay.
Yeah.
Well, it was the most ridiculous storyline ever.
It sure seems to have come into play.
Give me minus one pull-up. that guy's a straight-up stud.
He is.
And he did, have you seen the clip of him at the Saddle Dome when he turns to Colburn and goes, "This is bleeping sick." Like, it's the greatest thing I've ever seen. Like, he's an 18-year-old kid. He's just finished playing in the Ontario Hockey League. Sits down on the bench in the sea of red. It's loud. It's deafening. It's awesome. He turns to Colburn and goes, "This is bleeping sick." And it's like, and you're like, that is the coolest clip I've ever seen.
Which reminds me, and has nothing to do with this series. I want to talk about this. If you picked up a Calgary Sun today and you looked at page 36 of the sports section, you see a full-page ad. Cheers to the Winnipeg Whiteout. The Sea of Red salutes the Winnipeg Whiteout. To Mark Chipman, True North Sports and Entertainment, Winnipeg Jets coaches, players, and fans, congratulations on a great season from your friends at the Calgary Flames. I am told this same ad ran in Winnipeg in the Winnipeg Sun today. How do you respond to that? How dare you? How dare you do this to an Or how do you respond?
That's not really how you
feel,
is it?
I think.
Okay, then I'll take that. I'll do that. This is ridiculous. This is war. They hate one another. No, I think it's
that's class.
I like class.
It's class.
I got to be honest. I like the way the whole social media is trending with the poking fun at one another. And like, look, when the Kings got eliminated in game 81 at the Scotiabank Saddle Dome, I thought that was really classy. You know, the way that, first of all, Daryl Sutter came out and said, "I'm cheering for Calgary now in the playoffs." But I thought it was classy the way the Kings Twitter went out and said, "Hey, you beat us fair and square. Good luck in the postseason. We'll be rooting for you."
Yep.
I thought that was really cool. And I thought that was really cool too.
This,
I like that type of
stuff.
The
reason I bring this up, Pat, is just kind of an addendum to our conversation yesterday. That after the game in Winnipeg, I thought, you know, Twitter and social media kind of took a break from snarky, and everybody just, you know, gave a lot of respect and a lot of props to the fans and the organization and the city for getting back in the playoffs and putting on the show they did. It wasn't the result that Winnipeg was clearly looking for. I get that. Can I just say that anybody that's heard me in the past talk, this is how a team should use full-page ads in the newspaper. You shouldn't be taking full-page ads in the newspaper out to apologize to your fans for missing the playoffs. Guess what? That's part and parcel with it. 30 teams line up. There's an expectation. And I get a little grumpy when teams think that if they buy a full-page ad and they apologize from the bottom of their heart and they listen, we're listening. No, that's crap. This right here is what a full-page ad in sports should be. Congratulations. You guys had a great run. A lot of respect for it. And in a way, as I said yesterday, Pat, it's kind of the Winnipeg thing comes full circle. Yeah, they've been back in Winnipeg for 4 years now, but they made the postseason. They showed everybody what that was going to be like. It's cool. I give Ken King and the Calgary Flames a lot of credit for that. I thought it was a real classy move.
Yeah, I think that's really cool. And I'm curious to see, like, is this something that we see more of from them? Like, do we see, or is this a one-time
thing? So do you think
thing?
Tomorrow there's a congratulations, Peter, welcome to Alberta?
Or if they win tomorrow night, is there one on Sunday saying congratulations on a great season to the Vancouver Canucks?
Sure.
Or is this something because Winnipeg made the playoffs for the first time? Is that I'm curious as to how this can
be. I would suggest to you that Ken King, being the old newspaper man that he is just trying to do his own, you know, his own thing to try and keep newspapers in business. That he's now going to look for ways of actually purchasing full-page ads to keep the newspapers going. I don't know, Pat. I just think it was a one-off. And although I would eagerly anticipate Jay Feaster writing a one-page ad to Edmonton for the hiring of Trelly, that would be interesting.
I don't think that's going
to
happen.
I believe you've wandered to the end of the desert now or something to that effect.
Well, look, the Chirelli hiring's great. And
well, we're
going to
talk about
it,
that. Yeah.
You know,
but you wouldn't pull out a full-page ad?
Well, I mean, I just don't know if we can start to be singing the proclamations of their time in the
desert.
No,
no, no, no, no, no, no, no, no,
no. The desert is done.
It's over. It ended. today.
Let's wait and see how it all plays out from here. Because, you know, I like the hiring, and it's the first good move that the Oilers organization has made in probably a decade. But let's just wait and see to see what the job Chiarelli does. He still has to now fix the organization.
Pat, you're so negative. You're so negative.
I'm allowed to be negative.
A couple things we need to remind you about. Guests here on Sportsnet 960, The Fan. Join us down the Loop City One Mobile Mobile Sportsnet Hotline. Well, the cookies and the full-page ads. Loop City Express Oil Change featuring Mobile One warranty approved to change for the better. Now, you better eat those cookies because Shell's wife baked them for you.
Well, you have to have some, too.
No, Shell said...
She said, I'm baking for Rob Kerr.
No,
I don't like Shell came over and said, Pat, I want these for Rob Kerr.
That Pat doesn't seem to get enough respect from the old man on the radio. So here's some cookies.
She said, are you going to see that Rob Kerr? He has got the cutest little beard.
Punch him in the nose.
I wonder
when that was going to pop into the program. We are live.
Rob's growing his playoff beard.
It's not. I told you why I'm growing it. It has nothing to do with the playoffs. We are live at Woodridge.
To do with the reason I don't shave because sometimes I'm lazy. Are we taking a break?
Yes.
Why?
Because.
We don't need to.
I know. Woodridge Ford Lincoln is where we are today on the corner of Deerfoot and Douglasdale. Now it is part of the Wood Automotive Group along with Advantage Ford, Okotoks Ford Lincoln, the Big Four, along with Village Honda. You can go to any of these locations now and drop off sports equipment for Kidsport. Kidsport, and then we'll in turn turn it over to the Comrie Sports Equipment Bank and kids in Southern Alberta who wouldn't get normally an opportunity to participate because of nothing they've done wrong, and it's nobody's fault, but sometimes there's financial issues and other issues, and this is a great way you can help those. So if you're fortunate and you get new equipment for the kid every year and he turns it over and it's slightly used, bring it on down. You can throw it in the back of this F-150. Pat, it's made out of aluminum. Did you know that?
I did know that.
Which makes it 700 pounds lighter, Pat. Did you know that?
I did know that.
You know what that's good for? Gas mileage. Pretty good, eh? There you go. So you can go to any of the...
You're a bona fide expert.
Oh, that's what two visits to a showroom will do to you. You can drop it off at any Wood Automotive Group. And as a matter of fact, you can drop it here today. We're here till 6 o'clock. Rumors that the talking goalie will make an appearance later on in the afternoon. So if you were so inclined and you want to bring the kids down, I'm not sure what we're playing for. I'm not sure what's on the go, but we'll make it worth your while. Cookies, maybe?
We can give away a...
We can't give away the cookies.
Or a slow dance with Ashley.
What's second prize? Anyway, come on down and see us at Woodridge Ford Lincoln, corner of Deerfoot and Douglasdale. We'll take a break when we come back. Big news up north today. We'll dive into that next. Sportsnet 960, The Fan.
If it's on the ice, it's on the air and online right here. Calgary's home for the NHL. Sportsnet 960, The Fan.